You want to open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And then James chapter, put a string marker and marker in James chapter 4. Mark chapter 9, James chapter 4. And last week I introduced Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. And again, here's what Joshua said to the people that as they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. He said, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And we got a chance to go ahead and to look at this word sanctify. Last night as I was doing the wedding, again, the Holy Spirit prompted me that this wedding band that I wear represents I am sanctified, set apart for something holy. Isn't that awesome? This wedding band I wear represents that it is sanctified. And that word sanctified means set apart for something holy. And that if I defile this ring, I make it common. And it's interesting that then Jesus in the New Testament, we studied last week, he said, listen, because of you, Jesus said, I sanctify myself. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, I needed to be sanctified. And we looked into the ways then that we are purified, that we're sanctified, the ways that we are washed. And we came to the conclusion by looking at Scripture that when we separate ourselves in prayer and fasting, that this is the process of part of the process of sanctification that helps bring out virtue. And we studied that word virtue was the same word that we get for power in the New Testament. It's used 120 times. And so today I want to look at two stories, and we're going to continue looking at prayer and fasting. We're here in Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. It says, and when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and the scribes were disputing with them. And he asked them, what are you guys talking about? And then one of the crowd, verse 17, answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. And he foams at the mouth and gnashes at his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they would cast his spirit out. They couldn't do it. They didn't have any... Everyone say it with me, virtue. They didn't have any virtue. They didn't have any power to cast out the spirit that was troubling this little child. And when they brought the child to Jesus, he saw him, and immediately the spirit convulsed in him, and he fell down to the ground and wallowed, foaming again at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been going on? He said, since he was a little child. And often it has thrown him into the fire and the water to try to destroy him. Notice the Father says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus' response, verse 23, well, if you can only believe, all things, amen? Everyone say all things. All things. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. There's nothing that I can't do if you will just believe. And immediately the father of the child cried out and with tears rolling down his face, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Lord, I've got some faith there, but Lord, help my unbelief. Wow, what a statement. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and the little boy said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. And so now we're getting this behind-the-scenes conversation, this behind-the-scenes look. And they asked him, and they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said to him and said to the disciples, this kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Wow. The power of prayer and fasting. Earlier in this passage, Jesus is going to say, or it's in another chapter, Jesus looks around and he says, oh, faithless generation. And I don't know about you, but those words grip me. Because realize this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word of God. So every day, Jesus was speaking the Word. So I guess then if Jesus, and again, I thought, if Jesus says, oh, faithless, and is it, oh, faithless and perverse generation, if Jesus says that about those people that were with him every day, where would we put ourselves on the scale today? How would Jesus rank us and rate us if they were faithless? That's pretty low on the scale of faith. If they were that low and they were hearing the word every day from out of Jesus' mouth, where would we rank our church? Where would we rank this generation of believers? Where are we at on the scale of faith and belief? Here's the thing. I had to come to this conclusion. Jesus was speaking the word. And again, he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is speaking, but they weren't listening. That's my conclusion that I come up with. He was speaking. God is speaking. He's still speaking. Church, are we listening? Are we hearing these words? This kind doesn't happen except by prayer. And he wants us to couple our prayer with fasting. He wants us to be denying ourselves. And so again, tonight, sun goes down, that will begin our fast. We're fasting these three Mondays, reaching up to our anniversary service. And I pray that you are able to join me. And I went home last week and I realized, but I didn't say anything about the kids. Can children learn to fast? My mom tells this story, and I somewhat remember it, but in our church, on a regular basis, we would have three-day fasts every year for special occasions. And when a presbytery was going to come into the church, Pastor John Bell would ask for the church to fast for pray and fast for 3 days. And my mom tells this story, and this tells you how different the world is today. My mom tells my daughters a story that I somewhat remember, that when I was in kindergarten, I told my teacher, I'm going home to fast. And see, I think she had a kind of a strange look on her face, like, what? Like, yeah, I'm going home to fast and pray. And so I left kindergarten and walked across, how many courts is that, James, to our, yeah, across, and I went home, came home, and I got on my knees, and I started praying. And I was in kindergarten, but it's because my preacher, my pastor, John Bell, said, I want everybody to get involved in this because there is great blessing and there's great power in this. And I was a little boy going, well, I want to be blessed and I want to have power. And so starting even as my mom says, when I was in kindergarten, I did this. So I want to encourage you parents. Maybe your children can't do. I think that's probably that one meal I did that day. I fasted one meal. But how many of you know that's where we start? We all got to start somewhere. And if we can't do a whole day's fast and we can't do 3 days or 7 days, or Jesus did 40. Have we comprehended what it meant for Jesus to fast and pray for 40 days? What his flesh must have been going through? Talk about crucifying. But again, How come he's got the power then to be able to say, Spirit, come out? Because he practiced prayer and fasting on a regular basis. I'm telling you, this is not a popular message. There's nothing popular about this message of prayer and fasting. And my flesh groans at the thought of it. Because if you can tell, I like food. But how many of you know this is the key? This is what we're tapping into. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonderful things. Get ready, because God wants to partner with you. God wants to partner with me. And he can't partner with us if there's unbelief. He can't partner with us if there's not faith. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And again, this is not a sermon for Christianettes. Not a sermonette for Christianettes. This is the meat of the Word of God. But I believe we're able to take this meat today. We're able to take this word. And again, if you missed my message last week on sanctification, I encourage you to go back, go online and listen to it, and get your heart prepared for what God wants to do in us. Because the God who can only do wonderful things, that's his character. That's his virtue. Virtue is the inherent character of God. And it said, and virtue came out of him. James chapter 4, starting in verse 8. So draw near to God. Everyone say, draw near to God. And here's the promise. As we draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Isn't that wonderful? As we set ourselves apart, sanctified, set apart for something holy, as we set ourselves apart for even this one day of fasting, God says, as you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Then he makes this next statement. And again, this is not an option. He's saying, this is something I want you to do. So therefore, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands. Everyone see the word sanctification in that phrase? So cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Go ahead and sanctify your hearts, because right now, you're double-minded. My Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And is it possible that the disciples had become double-minded and that they didn't have the mind of faith, but rather they had a mind of doubt and unbelief? I think it's possible. And again, we said last week, why the reason we have to be sanctified on a regular basis is we live in such a contaminated, polluted world. All around us is contamination and pollution, and it rubs off on us. And so we have these times where we need to sanctify ourselves, to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts so that we don't become double-minded. Look, verse 9 of James chapter 4. So lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. See, on the surface, the church was going great. But James said, no, there's some issues I need to address. Because on the surface, everything's great. But on the inside, there were some problems we read in the book of James. They were judging one another. They were speaking evil. And apparently they were not really having a good time coming to church. How many of you know when we come to church, it should be a good time? Amen? We're in the because in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And so, but how many of you know, and don't you know, I love again the fact that Jesus never ever condemned. Now, the Holy Spirit convicts, and the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, and he warns us and helps us to stay away from things that will cause us harm. But from time to time, the bottom line is we need to be able to come and say, God, thank you for washing over me with your word. Amen. He washes over us. Our mind is renewed. Amen. By the washing of the word. In Psalm 73, David wrote this, my heart and my flesh, they fail. My heart and my flesh, they fail. But God, everyone say, but God. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. Woo! Man, it's a good thing. Psalmist, he said, listen, it is good when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because it's the same thing. It's good for me to draw near to God because I have put my trust in the Lord God. Hallelujah. That's what we're doing. We're making a declaration. We're setting ourselves apart in prayer and fasting. And we're drawing near to God. And it is a good thing. So that is our focus on drawing near to God. And today we're looking at what it means to pray. Turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. I want you to see maybe a characteristic of God that haven't been thinking about lately. Because here's what we see. God's character can never change. Can I say that again? God's character can never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when we partner with him, he can change his mind. See, he doesn't impose his will, does he? Because he says, listen, I desire that all come to salvation. That's his desire. But does he impose that desire? No. He never imposes his desire. But he waits for a man or a woman that he can partner with, who he can work with and do something through. And so Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Man, that's enough right there to understand. We need to catch this. We need to catch this truth that we should always pray and never give up. Verse 2, because there was a judge in a certain city. Jesus said, who neither feared God nor cared about the people. It's sad that we have to speak about these politicians this way, isn't it? A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I really don't fear God and I really don't give a rip about people. But this woman is driving me crazy because she's repeatedly coming and asking and knocking. She's repeatedly coming and saying, come on, dude, give me some justice. He said, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Amen. Verse 6. Then Jesus said, now, you need to learn this lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give you justice, you, his chosen people, when we cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting us off? I tell you, verse 8, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? We can't change God's character. God is God. God is the God of love. God is the God of justice. God is the God of mercy. That's his character. But we can change his heart if we believe, if we pray with faith. we can change the heart of God. You can change the heart of your situation. Amen. Yeah. He preaches to his disciples, listen, guys, you just have mustard grain faith. Just have a little bit of faith. And if you need to, then you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast to the sea, and it'll be done. Amen. So here's the question. Why don't we pray? What hinders us from praying and believing in faith? Well, first thing I kind of see is complacency. These issues that are going on everywhere really don't affect me. Okay, and if they don't affect me, then why should I worry about this so much? So here's the question, because the church today has complacency. How many things have happened in this great nation because the church has slacked off a little bit and said, yeah, that's all right, we'll just let it slide? How many things have we allowed to come in our government system? How many more things are we going to allow to just come down the line, and the church is going to sit back and go, man, that's not good? Well, how many of you know we can pray? Scripture says, listen, he's able to take the heart of the king and change it if he needs to. Was he just saying those words, or is that truth? I believe it's truth. I don't want to criticize my president, because God placed him there. Scripture is very clear on that too, that he places those who are in authority. But I sure can pray, Lord, improve him or remove him. Lord, help us from being complacent. Help us from looking back and saying, the tide is too strong. Because we look at it and go, God, look at how quickly our nation is moving. Just talk about 50 shades of black. Forget gray. It's gone black. And it's easy to say, there's no more hope. Not even God. No, our God can do all things. And he wants to do all things. But he's waiting for some people to partner with. You know, when 9/11 happened how many years ago? Man, all of a sudden the attention of America was caught. That, wow, there's an enemy out there. And for about 3 months, the churches were packed. And people were praying. And we got serious. And we got on our knees. Do we need another 9/11 to shake the church? To shake America to pray? I hope not. I don't want to see another tragedy just for the sake of catching our attention and saying, church, wake up. Complacency. The second thing I see in people's lives why we don't pray is unbelief. Just we're not really sure that this works, because my third point is we get discouraged. You know, I've prayed about this, and I just haven't seen it happen yet. What were Jesus' words to his disciple? Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep believing. And perhaps God will come. Amen? Here's why we should pray. Number one reason why we should pray is God is sovereign. Amen? Here's why we should pray. Number one, God is a sovereign God. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. He's the man. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, Abba Father, Daddy Father. He is supreme. But here's how the devil has twisted it. Oh, he is supreme, and so nothing I do really matters, because he's supreme, and he's gonna move the way he wants to anyway. That's the lie from the devil. No. And again, it's all predestined. God will just make it happen. No. God says that when we set our will, amen, when we set our will and align it with God's will, things happen. But we have to set our will. And we can't allow ourselves to be pushed, and we can't allow ourselves to think that, you know, I'm just one. And again, and here's the we're we're just a small church, or it's just me. What difference can I make? And the truth is, we can make a huge difference. Amen? We've seen that in Scripture over the last few weeks. James is, in chapter 4, he writes this way. He says, listen, you lust and you don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. But Jesus said, if you will ask anything in my name, because it's to do kingdom business, it's to see the kingdom be furthered. If you ask and do anything in my name, he says he'll do what? He'll do it. He'll grant it. As we're praying and fasting these next few days, we need to be like this Father. Lord, help my unbelief. I don't know about you, but here's how I'm wired. I am a very practical person. I see things in practicality. Numbers, this numbers and this numbers add up. But how many know God, he's not really concerned about numbers. He can do with a few, or he can do it with many. You just got to have someone who's willing and available. And so, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help us. Help us to be able to see. Come on, church, I want you to see this parking lot out here paved. I'm tired of walking in the mud. I parked in the grass today because I didn't want to walk in the mud. Please forgive me. Can we see God? Can we see a parking lot out there? A bigger one. Amen. Paved. At least paved. I'm not going to look. And Lord, help my unbelief. I cannot just look at people in numbers. Because ultimately, it's not people. Ultimately, it's plugging into the resources of God. Amen? Amen? Lord, thank you today for your sovereignty. He is a sovereign God. Amen? Amen. But that doesn't mean he can't be, his mind can't be changed. Abraham, he's talked to God, didn't he? Lord, if there's this many righteous, will you not wipe that city out? And then he comes back again. Lord, if there's only, and he gets that, Lord, if there's only five righteous, Lord said, yeah, if there's only five, I'll take my hand away from that city. He changed the heart of God. One man. And I believe it only takes one person today. As we close today, turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. I was taught this a few years ago. And it really had an impact in my life. Jeremiah chapter 32. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord. And he said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. And I want you to see two rights. No, you're fine. Go back to that other screen. For the right of inheritance, everyone say the right of inheritance. And the right of redemption. For the right of inheritance and the right of redemption. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from this gentleman, the son of my uncle, who was there, and I weighed out to him the money, 17 shekels of silver, and I signed the deed. So we have rights, and now we're going to talk about deeds. And I signed the deed, and I sealed it, and I took witnesses, and I weighed the money on the scales. And so I took the purchase deed, and here's the first deed. The first deed that was sealed, and the second deed that was open. So we have rights. We have the right of inheritance. We have the right of redemption. Then we have the sealed deed. And then we have the open deed. Now, how many of you know this? God's the original owner. God owns it all. But he chose the right of the open deed, and he took the open deed and gave it to Adam and said, Adam, here it is. It's all yours to rule. And what was the word he told him to have? Dominion. Adam, you are to rule and you are to have dominion. I am now signing it over to you. But Adam then signed it over to Satan. He had that, and that was his right to do, and he signed it over to Satan. And so now Satan's name is written on the open deed. Again, remember, Satan takes Jesus up to the hill and says, listen, all that is mine, I will give you if you'll just bow down and worship me. But see, here's the wonderful thing, isn't it? God had a son who exercised the right of inheritance. And more importantly, Jesus exercised the right of redemption. And he says, listen, I'll take that deed. I'll take that which is sealed, and I will open it. Amen? In Revelation, John is worried about there's no one worthy to open the seal. And he began to cry. And the elders said, no, don't weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. See, we now can pray and have an open heaven because the right of redemption. Because the right of inheritance that Jesus said, I'll take that back which is rightfully mine. And he did that. And so now when we pray in Jesus' name, that's authority. And there's no devil. Again, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to take this that which was taken to you and I'm taking it back. It's no longer yours. And again, he has taken the right, and he's passed it on to us today. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with the privilege to be able to pray in the name of Jesus, who has signed it over to us as church today? Stand with me as we close Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Listen to these words. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, everyone say boldness. Boldness. Having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This table we celebrated today. Because of it, we now enter in to the holiest because of the blood of Jesus. By a new and a living way, which he consecrated for us. Because Jesus was consecrated, because he went through this process of consecration and sanctification, now we can boldly enter in. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed, sanctified with pure water. Woo! Water flowing from heaven. Church, I don't know what you're believing for today. But man, I pray faith has entered our hearts today. That when we pray, we're touching the heart of God. We're tapping into a source and a resource that is totally unlimited. Because Jesus, that's what the cross was for. That's what everything that he did was for, so that we can boldly enter in and say, God, here we are in our time of need. How many of you are believing for something today in your heart that you need God to see, you need to see him move in a special way? When you slip your hand up, wow. And I just believe and I just pray, Lord, Father, you see these hands. Father, you're not moved by need, I know that. But you are moved by faith. And Father, we allow We allow faith to rise today, Lord, in our hearts. Lord, faith to see the impossible. Lord, to see the closed door open. Lord, to see you make a way where there seems to be no way. Father, we thank you today for the right that we have as sons and daughters of God, as your children, to come boldly before you, to come before your throne. Lord, to be able to apprehend, Lord, to take that which is needed. Everyone say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, I partner with every family. I partner with every mom and dad today. Lord, I partner with every person whose hand went up today who needs to see the mountain move. Lord, they need to see the supernatural break loose in their situation. God, thank you today. You're the God of the supernatural. And Scripture says there is nothing too hard for you. Woo-hoo. Father, we thank you. Just begin to thank him now for that. Lord, thank you, Lord. There's nothing too hard for you. Lord, there's nothing too hard that you can't accomplish. There's nothing too hard that you can't win and break through. Lord, as long as we partner with you. And so, God, we partner with you. Now, Lord, we just pray for families today. We pray for our next day of fasting coming up, starting tonight, Lord. God, I thank you for the power of fasting. Lord, I thank you for the power of a heart that will seek after you and draw near to you. Lord, as a church, as we're drawing near, as we're seeking your face, God, I thank you that we will find you. Lord, we will find answers. We will find comfort. We will find strength. Lord, it's guaranteed as our inheritance. Father, we receive it today by faith. Just go ahead and receive it by faith. Lord, we receive it today by faith. In Jesus' name, everyone say again, in Jesus' name, amen. If you still want prayer this morning, please don't leave without us having an opportunity to pray with you.